Well, good morning, Vineyard. It's good to be together. If we've not had the chance to meet, my name is Kurt. I serve as lead pastor. And we're going to open up the scriptures together today. Does that sound okay with you? If it's not, the lobby is warm. There's more coffee. You know, it's okay. That's what we're going to do. As we go towards the scriptures, I want to remind you of two things. One, we have free Bibles in the back. And we regularly encourage you, if you have a smartphone, to use the YouVersion Bible app. But if you want to be notification-free, tech-free, Wi-Fi-free, there is a wonderful thing that is a printed Bible, and they are free by the sound booth. Please take one. You can take one as a gift for someone in your life, because we believe that Jesus wants to speak to us. We believe the living God is in pursuit of us, and by His Spirit, He will lead us and guide us into truth. And the regular practice of reading the Bible in community matters. And so we're going to get to do that here. Additionally, we don't just want to do that independent of one another. We want to do that connected. And so practically, if you're a guest of ours today, maybe your first time at the Vineyard, if you'll scan the QR code that's on the seat back near you, you are one scan away from a personal connection with our team. And this is also practical if you're taking a next step. Maybe you're asking more questions about faith in Jesus. You want to get baptized at our baptism service next Sunday. Scan that code. You can sign up right there. You can let us know how to pray for you. So take advantage of that. We would love to personally connect with you on this journey of following Jesus together. And so we're really grateful to be with you. As Alan mentioned, we have been in a series looking at the book of Luke, and it was last Sunday we looked at Luke 4. And today's talk I've titled, Know the Need. Know the Need. Can we say that together on three? One, two, three. Know the need. Needs are hard to be met if you don't know what the need is. Amen? Well, we're going to see that Jesus is very clear that He knows our needs. He knows our needs. He knows exactly why He came. So I want to remind us of what it said in Luke 4. As we recap and remember what it was last week, and here it is. Jesus has spiritual authority, and He's come to address the needs we have in all of our life, including our spiritual life. Jesus has spiritual authority. I'd encourage you, if you didn't get to read Luke 4, go back and read it. There's so much to cover. I'm going to just remind us of something important. When Jesus steps onto the scene, He's very clear why He was sent. The end of Luke 4, it says, I was sent to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom. Jesus has come to proclaim something. But before He proclaims anything publicly, He does work privately. Luke 4, verses 1 and 2 says this, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan where He was baptized. This is why we practice baptism here at Vineyard. Jesus was baptized as followers of Jesus, us too. Sign up for next Sunday. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, He was hungry. He goes on to do work spiritually against the enemy, against the devil, resist temptation, and shows He has spiritual authority over the enemy. That matters for you and me. And if Jesus is doing that kind of work in His life, we should expect to do the same kind of thing in ours. We get to Luke 4, 18 through 21, which is what Pastor Alan just read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, sits down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. He began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus has spiritual authority. This matters immensely. I do not want us to minimize the supernatural work God is doing and desires to do. Today, our faith story needs to be seen in plain sight of Jesus. And what's really interesting is if you go back and read Luke 4, He has this demonstration of His authority over the devil. He has this proclamation of what the authority of His kingdom does: freedom, healing, hope. And then he immediately demonstrates his authority by casting out demons. We should not minimize the authority of Jesus, and we should ask for that authority to increase in our lives. Amen? If Jesus steps toe-to-toe with Satan and he demonstrates his authority by casting out demons, please do not cut those stories out of your scripture and understanding of Jesus. He shows his authority. And I want to ask you a question. Is it a nice story? Oh, isn't that nice, Jesus? Isn't that neat, Jesus, that you were in the wilderness, toe-to-toe with the devil? If Jesus believes in the devil, and if Jesus believes that demons are real enough that he has to demonstrate authority to cast them out, should we live with that lens on our life today? There is a real enemy. There is a real adversary. There is a real kingdom of darkness that comes and must understand there is an authority of Jesus over that work. This is no small thing, church. If you have faith in Jesus and you're welcoming the authority of Jesus into your life, please do not cut the authority of Jesus out to do work against the kingdom of darkness. Okay? This matters for what we're going to read in Luke 5. This is all just set up. Because if we can't believe he has authority over the kingdom of darkness, if we can't believe he has authority over the enemy, it's going to be hard to believe what we're about to read. Is it a nice story you read at a distance, or will it be the authority you welcome into your very life? Will you welcome the spiritual authority of Jesus into your life? We've been encouraging you to read the Bible during the week. This week, we're going to encourage you to read Luke 5. Take time to maybe read it with a friend. Text a friend. Say, hey, I'm reading Luke 5. Do you want to read it with me? Maybe somebody in your household. Maybe somebody at work. But as we read Luke 5, I want you to understand we're going to capture a glimpse of Jesus' life and the action Jesus has as he's living out his mission. Remember, Luke 4, the end, it tells his mission. I was sent to proclaim good news. Jesus knows the mission of his life. If we're following Jesus, that is our mission too. And what's really fascinating to me about Luke 5 is it doesn't happen in the synagogue. Luke 5 happens at the lake. Anybody like being by the lake, by the water? Yeah, amen. There you go. Jesus does work by the lake and by the water. It's good news. It happens in the town. It happens at the house. And it happens at the party. Anybody been to a good party recently? Did you think Jesus was going to show up and do work there? If you read Luke 5, the next party you go to, you might look with different eyes. The next town you go to on a work trip, Jesus might inspire you because he is doing work not just in the synagogue or the house of his people. He is doing work in the streets. He is doing work on the go. He is doing work by the lake. He is doing work because his authority has authority anywhere he is welcomed to demonstrate it. This is what Luke 5 is about. So, wherever Jesus went, he was willing to demonstrate and proclaim good news. Anybody ever struggled with how do I define good news? What is the good news of God's kingdom? Here's a simple definition. Good news means healing and forgiveness are available. If you define the good news by Luke 5, again, this is just set up. I'm trying to whet your appetite. I'm trying to increase your hunger for what we're about to read. The good news could be defined as healing and forgiveness are available. Do you need them? Do you want them? Do you need what Jesus is offering? Do you want the authority of Jesus to move closer, or are you willing to keep it as a nice story at a distance? What we see in Luke 5, if you want to turn with me there, if you happen to have a Bible or a YouVersion Bible app, is that this work of God embodied in Jesus offers a faith that happens day to day in our ordinary lives. Here's what I mean. Luke 5 opens this way in verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, one day, the work of God comes one day by the lake. You keep reading, verse 12, while Jesus was in one of the towns, maybe that would be our town. Maybe one of those towns would be this town. One day by the lake, one day in one of the towns. Verse 17, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. See, this work of God just happens in the ordinary day-to-day reality of life. And this matters for us today. The spiritual authority of Jesus is at work in our day-to-day dependence on him. Are we willing to let one day be this day? Are we willing to let one day, as I was at work, the authority of Jesus came in a conversation with a coworker? One day, as I was losing my mind as a parent, the Spirit of God came and gave me peace. One day. See, this reality of the authority of Jesus is not meant to be relegated to a Sunday, but to come every day, so that our ordinary life is full of the spiritual authority of Jesus. So what's most normal about us is that Jesus has authority in everything about us. Will you welcome Jesus closer? There are three stories that are unfolding in Luke 5 I want to just point to. And the first one is this, because really, if we're reading Luke 5 and we're not letting our lives be transformed, we're missing the point. If we read these stories today out loud and it does not move in our lives, I wish I could have given you a better 35 minutes. Here's what I mean. Faith is about personal surrender. We need to know the need of our own life. We need to know the need of our own life. To come in and pretend we don't have needs is to miss the point of an active faith that addresses the needs we actually have. Here's what I mean. In Luke 5, verse 12, we get a story of healing, and it's a man with leprosy, and this is how it's captured. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." I want to give you permission. When we gather week in and week out, when you are at home in the quiet of your bedroom, you are invited to be like this man who knows the need and falls face on the ground before the living God and begs for mercy. That is what faith looks like. That is faith. That we would know the need and we would come to God and say, if you are willing, you can, because your authority can have authority in my life. Your authority can have authority over my illness, my sickness. Whatever is happening in me, I can fall face down before the living God. We need to know the need we have in our own life. Faith is about personal surrender. Faith is also meant to bless others. Did you know that if your life lived aligned with Jesus is going well, the most beneficial outworking of that is probably for the people around you? It will impact more people around you than it is meant to be an independent, private faith. Here's what I mean. We get another story. I'm going quick today because I'm expecting you to read it this week. Like, I'm expecting you to slow down and go back and read it this week. We're all going to be good students of Jesus and follow him and apprentice under him. So I just have a lot of faith for you. We get another story. Luke 5, this is 27. Actually, no, that's not right. It's not 27. I skipped to the third story. The second story happens in verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. The work of God revealed in Jesus is meant to bless others. There's a power available through the authority of God to heal the sick. A group of friends heard about this, and they have a friend who's paralyzed on a mat. Four guys carry their buddy to the house. Go check it out. And they couldn't get in. They could not get into the house. It was crowded. So what did they do? If you have heard this story before, they vandalize the house, they rip open the roof, and they drop the guy in. They go, whatever it takes to get our friend to the feet of Jesus, we're going to do it. Because we have faith that Jesus has what our friend needs. Faith will bless others when we have understood our personal surrender puts us at the feet of Jesus, the leper. And that doesn't just get contained with us, but then that personal faith to surrender at the feet of Jesus, we start looking for our friends and going, we'll carry you to the feet of Jesus. And what's interesting is Jesus just disrupts the whole thing. The friends knew the need. Our friend cannot walk. Maybe this man can heal him. But Jesus knows our need is not just for temporal, superficial moments here, but it is also spiritual and eternal. And he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. And the room went, nope. No, 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 that's not how this works. You can't do that. And he goes, I have authority to forgive, and I'm going to prove it. Get up and walk. The authority of Luke 4, the authority of the Father speaking blessing over his Son in the baptism in Luke 3, it is stacking, and it has integrity, and the authority and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal, and the sick are made well. What about today? What about you? What about us? See, we have to have the humility to know the need of our own life, and we fall at the feet of Jesus. And then we have to have the faith and the courage to go, look what I found in Jesus. I'll bring my friends. And friends bring their friends to Jesus and put them at his feet. The friend, I don't know, did the paralyzed guy ask for it? Did he ask for forgiveness? No, Jesus knows the need, and Jesus will address it. Is this the kind of faith we're living with today? Faith follows Jesus and allows Jesus to meet our needs. Verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Could you, just for a second, right? If you are currently employed, think about where you're going to be at work this week. Are you there? Can you picture it? If you're not going to be at work this week, think about where you are going to be this week. And now imagine Jesus shows up. How's he dressed? What's Jesus dressed like? Whenever I dress Jesus, he's in jeans and a t-shirt. He dresses kind of like me. I think Jesus is cool like that. No, I quickly make Jesus into my image. Jesus shows up to Levi working at the tax booth. Jesus shows up to you. Two words. Follow me. Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything and followed him. Now you could just believe his job was that bad. You could just believe his job was that bad. He was like, better off or got it, let's go. But you could also believe that maybe verse 15, yet news about Jesus spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. More and more needs were being met by the crowds, and the story had credibility and moved from town to town. And the moment Levi was invited into the story, it wasn't my current circumstances so bad. It's this is the thing I know my soul needs. Jesus said to him, follow me. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. One of the things that holds me back in my faith is I try to follow Jesus and I've not left everything. My faith is slowed down by all I continue to drag with me that I try to bring. The invitation is to leave everything, be healed, be forgiven, and be called into the story that God has always intended to write for us. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Complain, complain, complain. If you're dismayed by the current rhetoric in certain platforms today, it is not the platform that's the problem. It's the human heart that has always been the problem. The condition to complain sits well within me. I just need another person to listen. Guys, the story of old is the current story we need. They complain, and we do too. We complain. You're like, "No, I don't, Kurt. Come on." You're now complaining about me telling you you complain. We complain. Jesus answered them. Look, if you are currently a follower of Jesus, this has to shape everything. If you're considering following Jesus, be encouraged, because this is the picture of the God you're being invited to follow. "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I have not come to call people who say, "I have no need, I am righteous. I have it all sorted out, I know it all, I've got it figured out, I've got it." He goes, "Good, have at it then." He says, "I was sent to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom, and that is being proclaimed to every person who has the humility to know their need. I need God. I need saving. I need rescue. I need forgiveness. I need healing. I need hope that I cannot produce for myself. I need God." And he's saying, "Come home. Come home. I have called you to repentance, to turn to me, because I am the one you need. I have the authority that you need. It is me." So let's not complain about how sick the world is. Let's embrace the call of God to be the answer and the remedy, to point people to Jesus, who says, "I've come for you. I've come to heal the sick. I've come to mend the broken. I've come to set the oppressed free. I have come that you may have life." And when we embrace that, because we fall at the feet of Jesus for our personal need, it transforms the way we see others. We go, "Oh, you have need. Me too." I don't have to complain about how needy you are. I just go, "Welcome to the club. You should come to church with me." It's a community of people who have humbled themselves to Jesus and said, "We cannot, but you can. We cannot, but you can." And we can fall at your feet in worship, and we can fall at your feet in prayer, and we can bring our friends and go, "Hey, I don't know what God will do today, but when I fall at his feet, he meets my need. Let's go to his feet together." And then we can embrace his mission together, and we can transform the way we see the world together, because we see it through the lens of Jesus. The community of people Jesus is searching for is not the know-it-alls, the self-righteous, the have-it-alls. Jesus is reaching for those humble enough to recognize, "I have a deep need for God." I have a deep need for what only God can do. I am imperfect, a sinner who has been living distant from God, doing my own thing, and I know I need to turn back to God, repentance. That is what it means. It's not shame, it's reality. It's not guilt, it's honesty. And it is invitation to be transformed over and over and over and over again into the fullness of God. Luke 4 and Luke 5 display Jesus' spiritual authority. He has authority over Satan. He has authority over demonic possession. He has authority over sin and sickness. He can forgive anything you need forgiven. Otherwise, you're saying, my sin is stronger than Jesus. If you think you have a sin that is unforgivable, you have elevated the power and authority of that sin above the living God. You have made that sin God. It does not work that way. Jesus says, I have authority to forgive sins. Come to my feet, fall at the cross, and receive what you need. When was the last time you experienced the goodness of bringing that thing you've held on to that you have said is such a part of your identity that you need to let it be laid at the feet of Jesus so you can go, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven more than I am the one who needs forgiveness. The man with leprosy fell at his feet. He knew the need. The friends carried him to the feet of Jesus. They knew the need. Levi got up and left everything. But you know what's really cool? That's not the only time it says that in the text. The very first call of the disciples in Luke 5, I skipped over this on purpose so I could come back and sound smart in front of you. Isn't that fun? Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for the times I think it's the smartness of my preaching and not the power of your presence. Luke 5. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. That's verse 10. Here's verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. If you think discipleship to Jesus means you don't leave everything, I'm sorry. Jesus' call on our life is to leave everything. Leave it at his feet. Entrust it to him. Leave it under his authority so that when he says, follow me, you say, lead the way. When he says, follow me, you say, lead the way. Because the thing that we have to understand is the call to follow Jesus has a cost. But let me be really clear. The call to not follow Jesus has a cost. Your life has a cost. To what aim are you paying the bill? To what aim are you paying the price? To follow Jesus means the cost of authority being yours, and you humble yourself and you let the authority be his. Everything he now has a say in, everything he has oversight of, everything he has a rule and a reign. I've left everything in your care. I've left everything in your authority. I've left everything under your word, God. You say, lead the way, and I will follow. And it has to happen in every stage of our life, in every season of our life, in every moment of our life, again and again and again. The call to follow has a cost, and it's to leave everything and follow. And here's what I think that actually confronts in us more than anything right now. It's our comfort. It's our comfort. I want to tell you why this matters. And I want to tell you a story that's emerging in the life of our church that you are a part of because you're a part of the life of this church. I was meeting with two of our staff this week, and we're talking about a new opportunity that moved towards us to share good news in our city, and it's with our relationship that we have at Carlson Elementary, which happens to be the elementary school across the street. It was brought to our attention that they used to receive food resources for some weekend needs being met from the Houston Food Bank, but that service stopped because our city was deemed to be too wealthy. Which is a nice sentiment for the city, except it doesn't care for the individual who might not actually be as wealthy as the neighbors, right? So the weekend food stopped. And through our relationship and the work we've been doing over there, they came and said, hey, we have some families who could use some weekend food support. Is there something your church can do? And we said, yes. And you might not know this, but through your generosity at the end of the year to feed families and have holiday needs met, we've been able to already start saying yes. And that in and of itself, like, matters. The physical needs are beginning to be met, but here's the, it's like more than that, because Jesus wants to forgive. He wants to meet all of our needs. And we found ourselves in one of our rooms this week at the building, and the counselor sent over a prayer request that moved the room to tears. Because the loss and the grief being felt by one of those families is unimaginable. And I just thought, God, am I so comfortable with my own life that I'm numb or blind to the discomfort around me? And what I said in that room is the need is too real and too great to be satisfied with comfort. Apparently, Levi had financial means and a house large enough to throw a pretty big banquet. He left everything and followed Jesus because Jesus says the need is too great and too real to not demonstrate the good news of the kingdom. We must decide if we will be a community dissatisfied with our comfort while the world around us grows more and more distressed. Will we step into a story with a living God who's by the lake and is at the tax booth and is at the elementary school and is in our living rooms and is on our streets next to our neighbors? Could we step forward with a story where we will understand the cost is well worth the proclamation? Because we know the need in our life that's been met. We know the need in our friends that have been met. And now we want to proclaim the good news to a city because the authority is with Jesus and the power to heal is with Jesus. And we can step into that story right here and right now. But it will not go past our ability to humble ourselves and keep falling at the feet of Jesus. Welcome to Luke 5. I hope you read things this week that you've never seen before and you're reminded of things that you've read before and they come alive again. The cost does not compare to the joy found in Jesus demonstrating good news. Do you need healing today? Ask for prayer. Actually, receive prayer. If you need healing, just receive prayer. If you need hope, receive prayer. If you need life, come to the giver of life. Begin a relationship with Jesus. And here's what's crazy. Jesus calls these guys to follow him, and immediately they're sent on mission. It's immediate. The fishermen, you're going to now fish for people. Levi immediately hosts a dinner party, and people probably came to faith that night. Because his need had been met, he had a story to share. Because his life had been rescued, he can immediately share the good news of Jesus. And the more we share those stories, and the more we see those stories unfold, guess what? The news about Jesus will spread. It's humble dependence on God and faithful obedience to him. This is discipleship. Humble dependence on God, faithful obedience. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And once you begin to see your needs met, guess what? Now you get to meet the needs of those around you. And once you see their needs met, go as a community and meet the needs around you. And once you see their needs met, do y'all see the pattern here? We fall at the feet of Jesus in worship over and over and over again. And it's practice for eternity. It's practice for eternity. I want to give you one practical thing to close. I'm moving this as a signal to say I'm almost done. there was a verse I could have very easily just read over. And that happens. If you read the Bible some, here's what's going to happen. You're going to read, and you're just going to sort of read through some things. That's really normal. And there will be some things that just capture your attention. Just believe that might be God drawing you into something you need right here, right now. And then you'll read it again, and something you sort of read over the first time captures your attention. This is how we partner with the Spirit leading and guiding us into truth. This is how we partner with our actual lives in the presence of God. So as you take a free Bible and you read Luke 5 this week, see, I'm encouraging us to act in our way into this story. This is what happened for me. I had read it, and there was this one verse I was almost just going to read right through. And it's going to be the second verse I'm going to read to you, because I'm going to read you two to close. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. That's amazing, right? I would love for that story to be the story we're hearing more and more right now. That's what captured my attention first. Here's verse 2. It's actually verse 16. It's the second one. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Here is what we have to know about faith in Jesus and the life he's calling us to. Our lives will lack spiritual authority if we neglect the private place of prayer. Anything public we see Jesus doing is being sourced and fueled by his faithful, humble time in the private with the living God. Your life will lack spiritual authority if you are neglecting humble dependence at the feet of Jesus. We have to humble ourselves before God. See, Jesus had the crowds. He had the healings. He had the public ministry going on. And what did he do? He did not find his identity there. He found his identity with the Father in private, lonely places, saying, I depend on you. I need you. I cannot live without you. He never, ever, ever missed that his whole life was being lived dependent on the Spirit, being loved by the Father. You and I need this 100 billion times more than Jesus. Is your private time with God matching the measure of your public life demand? The way we get private time with God is we get to a quiet place and we listen. And we share our heart and we're honest and we're open. God, I'm tired. God, I'm weary. God, I lack faith. You know the need. I fall at your feet. And we read the words of Jesus and we say, God, help. God, help. You know the need. We pray for people. We pray for our lives. We begin to pray for the lives of the people around us, but it will require us prioritizing time in the private. Time in community. So that anything public we see God do, we would just go, yep, I see it publicly because I've known it privately. I see it publicly because I know it privately. Let's stand.